But before that, we need to finish up on the best sermon ever, the sermon that Jesus preached, the Sermon on the Mount. And he ends this whole sermon with what we just heard. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise person who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house. Yet it did not fall because it had its foundations on the rock. And now you know why the songs, even if we couldn't see the words, the songs that Clayton chose for us this morning are all about this rock. But this reading does not stand alone, mind you. This is the end or the conclusion of a sermon that is two chapters long. And so he's not saying about these words, he's saying about all the words in this sermon. He says, if you put them into practice, you will be able to endure. And I think that's a fascinating statement that Jesus tells us that what we build our life upon will determine our ability to endure the storms of life. That's so important, I'm going to say it again. Jesus tells us that what we build our life on will determine our ability to endure the storms of life. Or to use Jesus' words a little bit more specifically, we need to take the time to find the best place in which to build a life, and it should not be left to chance. This is true when it comes to building actual buildings as well, but it is especially true when we talk about building a spiritual life and using the metaphor of a house. You may be able to design and build a sound and safe dwelling, but if the ground it's built on is not firm, the best plan in the world does not matter. When I was thinking about this, I thought about San Francisco, and not everything in San Francisco is natural. Now, you could say that about a lot of things in San Francisco, mind you, but more specifically, a lot of San Francisco around the edges is fill. Parts of Marina, North Beach, the Embarcadero, Mission Bay, and even Hunter's Point was not there 120 years ago. That has all been filled in with landfill. Part of Treasure Island, most of Treasure Island over there, is from fill and from ships that have been run aground. And so when people filled that in and it looked like dry ground, guess what people did? They built on the landfill. But the problem is, it's not natural. And it's not solid. But people look at that and go, well, that's good land to build on. And the problem is you may be able to build on that if you drive the pilings for the foundation deep enough to get to the bedrock that is well below where that fill is. If you don't, eventually you'll have a problem. Matter of fact, if you watch the news, you know that Millennium Tower is sinking and tilting because of its foundation. As much as one might want to live with Joe Montana in the Millennium Tower, I'm not sure that's a good idea. It opened in 2009 and it has already sunk 16 inches and tilted 2 inches to the northwest. Why is that? Well, when they designed it, the engineers believed that if they went down 80 feet and put in pilings for the foundation and put in 1,000 of them at 80 feet, that would be enough to make sure that the building did not sink or tilt or move. Unfortunately, the bedrock is actually at 200 feet of depth, and they decided not to go down that far. Now, because of that, the lawsuits are piling up. Everybody is suing everybody. It's fair to say that when you build on sand, life will start crashing down before on you and around you before the building does. See, as it turns out, Jesus knew a little something about foundations, right? I guess it helped to be raised in a carpenter's household. Most of you have heard this teaching before, right? I mean, he tells us that everybody builds their life on something. Some people build it on truth, other people build it on faith, or principle, or self-satisfaction, or pleasure, and some folks just down the road end up building their life around their kids, but everybody at some point puts their eggs in a basket of some kind. Everybody does. That basket can be strong, it can be resilient, it can be weak, it can be flimsy, but Jesus tells us that we best choose our basket wisely because at some point in time, that basket will be tested for its resilience. And not only when those tests come, it'll always be beyond our control. Now, what I find fascinating is that when he talks about the storms of life and this metaphor of a house, is he says, everybody's going to experience storms. No one is immune. No one gets to the point where Jesus says, well, if you build your house on the rock, well, you'll never have inclement weather, and everybody lives happily ever after, and everybody's happy, and let's all go home. No, he says, doesn't make any difference where you build, the storms will come. There's no truer words in Scripture than when Jesus says in John chapter 16, in this world, you will have trouble. There will be storms for Christians and everyone else as well. Yet Jesus shows us that a way to endure the storms that we will encounter, that it takes planning and preparation, and the blueprint that we have, or at least one of the blueprints, is found in the Sermon on the Mount. Even when you build a house, and if you've never done that, not only do you have to have the right plan, you have to pick the proper site, you have to prepare the site, and then you have to dig down to where it's solid so that you can pour a foundation. And it doesn't make any difference how good the foundation is if what you're building upon is not solid, you're going to have problems sooner or later. With a slight variation, this totally reminds me of the story of the three little pigs. That's what came to mind, is three pigs, you know the story. One, they're all trying to avoid the storm of life known as the wolf. One builds a house of straw that's not strong enough for that storm because he huffs and he puffs and he blows the house down. The next one builds it of wood. He thinks, well, that's better than straw, but when the wolf comes, he blows that house down. But the third pig, or the third pig brother, as the story goes, builds a house of brick. And it is the house of brick, the most solid house, that endures. Now, like I said, this is a variation of the gospel story with one big exception, and that exception is at the end of the three little pigs. The wolf goes down the chimney of the brick house and becomes wolf soup for the pigs. Yeah, not that part of the story, okay? Just want to be clear about that. Wolf soup, ew, right? Yeah. But I want you to notice, though, the pigs that built the house of straw and wood, what do? But they run to that third house, their third brother who built the house of brick, and they run to him for safety. That is exactly what humans do in times of hardship. We turn to someone who has endured, survived, and even thrived under the same conditions. Maybe that person hasn't gone through the same thing, but they have wisdom or they have compassion and care, and we turn to people who have a safe, warm presence about them. And we seek shelter when the storms hit us. But what folks never see is that the house, a spiritual house, stands because of what it is built upon. All they see is the warm, safe house because the foundation is often hidden in most houses, or you only see this much of it. I can remember as a kid, though, when I would walk home from school when I lived in Ohio, there were several houses that just creeped me out, right? They creep me out. These are not the actual houses, but they look like that. I swear they look like that. And when I would walk home from school, I would actually walk on the other side of the street to stay out of the bad vibe that these houses were giving off. Because I was afraid that if I walked too close to one of these houses on the same side of the street, one of those gnarled trees would grab me and come to life and throw me into that house that I wanted no part of. I mean, I might have had a vivid imagination back then. I'm just maybe. But if you're ever in Springfield, Ohio, I can show you where those houses are. One was on Fountain Street and the other one's on Garfield. I know exactly where they're at if they're still standing. But I think the fact is, all of us have driven by houses in our life where we have said, by looking at the exterior, I wouldn't want to see the inside of that house, just by what's on the outside. And we make the same determination about how we seek people during the storms of life. If we see that someone is living their life in such a way that it is a place of safety, a person of safety, and a person of refuge, we see that how they outwardly live their life, we'd say, we're going to go seek them out for comfort and care and compassion when we have trouble. But that only happens when we build a life on a firm foundation. That when we do that, others will seek shelter and guidance from us, because when the storms come, they need someone to turn to. We, as the church, are those people. Jesus not only wants us to endure during storms, but he wants us to be standing so that when other people are struggling, we are there for them. It's not just for our own good. A better way to explain this is, I found this picture on National Geographic. It is a picture of a cabin on a river in Serbia, of all places. And this totally helps me explain what the image that Jesus is using. And by the way, one of our members was actually listening to the sermon at first service, because I misspelled the word principle, because I'm so often thinking about Dawn or principle, so I spelled it like principle versus principle. So you don't have to point that out, because I already know I misspelled it. But somebody was actually listening at first service, which I think is just great. So now that we got that out of the way, did you not record that part, Eric? I didn't want that part recorded. Okay, good, thank you. So look at this picture, and you see the river, and that's the storms of this life. The streams rose, and out of the storms and out of this river rising, you have this island, this rock. And this rock is not only God, who promises to be with us, but it's the principle, spelled a different way, that Jesus taught us. So it's not just trusting in the person, but in a way of living that he instructs and shows us in the Sermon on the Mount. So out of that, we build a spiritual house, and we begin with the foundation, of course. And the foundation is only an extension of the solid ground that it's built on. Think about that. Our foundation is the affirmation that we are doing everything we can to live a life that resembles the life that Jesus lived. The way that Jesus treated people, we are saying we're going to attach to that rock and say we want to live like that. And that's how we want to treat people. So in this picture, you can see the foundation in most houses, as I said before. You can barely see a foundation because it's just about at ground level, but this one actually serves the purpose that we can actually see that. For most homes, the thing that is visible is the structure on top of the foundation. Same is true in our lives. The spiritual houses we have that we build are perceptible by the things that we do and the things that we say. So the house that we present of our lives is how we act out in the world. And the only way that the house stays attached to the foundation is integrity. That we live from those principles and from having the presence of God in our lives. That's the glue that holds it together. And the thing that is that everybody lives by some sort of principle. I mean, don't say that only Christians have principles. Everybody lives by a guiding ethic. Some are self-centered and shallow, mind you, but we all have an ethic that we subscribe to. And I'm just going to make the assumption that because you're here on Sunday morning, that you are here because you want people to see Jesus through you. That when you spend time with other people, that you want the grace of God working through you into other people's lives. And for that to actually happen, it takes more than just saying, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. That's a good start, mind you. But if you don't know what Jesus is about, why would you want to acknowledge that he is the Son of God? I don't know about you, but for me, I want to know what I'm signing up for. If I'm going to follow Jesus, I want to know the fine print. If I'm going to build my life on this rock called Jesus Christ, I want to know everything there is about him, and I want to know everything about this type of rock to make sure that it is solid. And that's why, in your bulletin this morning, open your bulletin, you can see that I put a cheat sheet in there. There's the fine print. There's the details. This is the asterisk at the bottom of the contract saying, here's the details. And on one side I put the firm ground, and the other side I put the sinking sand. And everything on the firm ground side is a portion of the practical teaching of Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount. I didn't have time on Sundays to go through everything, but here is everything that Jesus taught in a bullet point of what he said we should be like if we are going to attach ourselves to this rock. So I give it to you so that maybe you would take it home, that maybe you'd tape it to a kitchen cabinet, maybe you'd put it on your fridge, maybe you'd even tape it to your mirror so that it'll help you think through how you're going to live and how you're going to act before you encounter trouble. Now, why is that important? Because when we live by faith and a set of principles, we always have to know how we're going to respond to a situation before we get to that situation. Because if we don't think through about this is how I'm going to be when times get tough, I guarantee you most likely will respond in a way that you'll regret later. So this not only says this is how Jesus says that this is the fine print of living life on the rock, but I also give you the sinking sand version of what that looks like. So hold on to that. Look at it. Because when we don't stick to the blueprint, you'll end up having to start over, and it always costs more in the long run. It always does. And yes, occasionally we all have catastrophic failure. It happens. And the good news is that Jesus is not only our master builder, but he is also our insurance adjuster. And he never denies a claim. And he'll help us rebuild on that foundation when we slide off it. He is that good. But remember what I said. It's not only good in terms of Jesus teaching to help us endure storms, but it also will help us be available for others when they encounter tough times. Not only that, but we should, in our spiritual homes, put candles in the windows to light the way, because it is a dark world out there, and it is a dark time for us. And so we must light our spiritual home so that others are drawn to the warmth and the light and the love of God. And the way we do this is twofold. First, we worship Christ, who is the one who has saved us from catastrophic loss. But we also follow Christ and his teachings because they are good for us and so needed in this world. But we need both the worshiping and the following to advance God's kingdom. Amen.